is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Hello, welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, where we proclaim that God wants total well-being for all children, and we have had a history of supporting, equipping, igniting, encouraging parents and educators for the well-being of their children. We want to have faith that our children can do well, and we want to find the right strategy to help them. Yes, it may be miraculous prayer, it may be better health measures, and it may be better education or innovative education. Hallelujah. Today we're in a series on the power of Pentecost for us to be witnesses of the Lord, to be that sound in our world that calls people to repentance, to sanctification, to salvation, to the uttermost. Amen. So if you haven't heard all of this, go back to Easter and talk about the rescues from Easter. And of course, there were other rescues, big revelations that showed what the enemy was trying to do for us that I didn't address because we're focusing on children. But there was a lot just focusing on children. And then starting at Pentecost, we've been talking about the power that the Lord can give us to be witnesses. And of course, there's much to know doctrinally and spiritually about Holy Spirit and Pentecost, but that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about the power to be witnesses. So, which you cannot deny. The Lord, the resurrected Lord, said, I'm reading out of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in the New American Standard, which is one of the closer to Greeks, and he said to them, Jesus is saying to the apostles, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be his witness. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the most remote part of the world. And he was lifted out of their sight. So this is the point. We have been given power in order to fulfill, and if I say the Great Commission, you know what I mean, but your mind goes into a rut and you're talking about only souls. And I believe in preaching souls for salvation. The Great Commission said, go and teach all nations, disciple all people groups. It's more than getting a few souls saved, although that's part of it. You shall be my witnesses from this point out to the most. Jesus has as his inheritance nations. We want souls, yes, but we want salvation to the uttermost, not just justification, not just getting saved and becoming part of the church and huddling there, but we want a total reformation of all of society, not through control like the leftist and the rightist do it, but through a change of heart. God wants total well-being for all children, whereas dictators like Hitler and Stalin want power. And so hatefully, they come out and accuse people who are teaching the truth. This is the right way. This is what was going to help your life be right. And then they come out and violently accuse you of being a hater. All right, you say, okay. Now, if you control your sexuality and if you marry the right woman and stay faithful to each other, okay, a man and a woman, faithful to each other, as difficult as that is, and raise your children together, then you will have a happier life. And you know what? Guess what? Statistics show that. But the haters and the controllers will come out and say, you're a hater if you say such a thing. And then they become more and more bullying. And as we see, you know, more and more. And unfortunately, there have been isolated cases of traditional values being, but you know, some of them we're finding out are complete lies, Jesse Smollett. But we see a wall of intimidation, a wall of hate, a wall of lies. And so we need to find out what the real score is. And so Passover revelations have been like that. And I'm saying that we need to take the land. And Pentecost is the time of power. So, hallelujah, I pray power down on you. Power to be witnesses. And how do we be witnesses except through communication? And so I read in Acts 2 about a sound of a mighty noise like a violent rushing wind that filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. So I'm saying this has got to be about communication. And verse 6, and when the sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were amazed and bewildered, and they came together because they knew something was up. And they inquired and said, what must we do to be saved? So there was a sound. And of course, we're talking particularly, we focus on education. We equip and encourage parents and educators for the well-being of children. Amen. So we talked about children's safety. We talked about education. And I think there will be great things afoot. I think there's already been great rescue in terms of children's safety because the forces of evil, and in fact, explicitly following God, Molech, whatever. So hopefully that's wiped away and your children are safe. You're seeing that your children are safe. And then we found out, I think there's a great, although very quiet, revelation. You've been reacquainted with children. You see what's going on in their education, which is not much good. And I think there's going to be some great changes. And I told you what the expectation of the public school system is. Here in Texas, by law, the teachers were not permitted to give the children more than 8 hours of work. Sometimes it was much less. And it was mostly review. So they've been out of school or not meeting face-to-face in school since spring break. So that's at least a quarter, for some a little bit more than a quarter of the school year. They've been given mostly review. They've been told, Texas teachers, that to expect a year falling back. And so when they come back in September, they will be given mostly review again. So the expectations set up a year of loss when there's no excuse for that. There's no reason for that. At the same time, they've seen an uptick in the quality of work. Why? Because the parents have the expectations that the children will do the work and do it well. But the teachers have been taught to expect that that's the parents doing the work, so that's cheating. So the school teachers have been set up to misread the situation and to dumb down the situation further. And bless their hearts, they can't do anything different. They're employees. The parents have seen. So are they going to give a pass? Oh, well, it's been difficult to teach by Zoom. Well, I understand it's been difficult. They're not used to, many teachers are not used to distance education. Some are. In my neighborhood, the high school, like the colleges, there was very little changeover. Because they already posted their assignments. Kids had the book. The kids are used to this tech. And oh, it was just more online. It was no big deal. But for many, it was a huge deal. What elementary school teachers used to doing all this tech? Well, anyway, parents have seen that very little is a sign. There's very little quality. And some of what's taught is questionable at best. And so I'm thinking there's going to be a huge uptick in home education. In places where home education was illegal, now it was required. And so some parents have discovered how wonderful it is. And of course, not every state has the right to educate their children like we do in Texas, but maybe they should have. And I think the whole discussion about the First Amendment in churches and the petty tyrants that have shown up to intimidate churches who were wholly reasonable and in compliance when in fact there was no legal authority to do so at all whatsoever, then I think there's going to be some real conversations about constitutionality and the rule of law as opposed to oppression. And so this is the kind of rescue that I believe has come out at Passover, and I think that I pray that the people receive repentance and power at Pentecost, and the churches are enlivened and encouraged. And so we devoted last episode to home education, and if you need more encouragement, more resourcing about home education, please avail yourself and let me know. But I have a whole book, Learn at Home for a Great Shalom, which really helps you be certain that you're covering every aspect of education and not just replicating the WAN and reprobate public schooling, and also helps you decide what to do for your children's particular personal lacks, because I was thinking, of course, children who were having some learning problems. Everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, so you have a huge, huge resource there, so you can choose what curriculum you need based on that fundamental philosophy. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. It's been out for years and years. You go to the website and you can click through. Go to the website, greatshalom.org. Great, like big, G-R-E-A-T, shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M.org. Click through and get it from a bookseller who print it and ship it to you. So high time you did that. Even if you need to or choose to use schooling, you need that book so that you can supplement what's going on in school, because I'm telling you, school was not meant to give your child a character education or a rounded education, just certain things that they wish to teach. And that's right, they can't take parents' responsibility. So get the book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom, absolutely. But today I wanted to talk about civic responsibility, because we have seen that we've got some real problems in our governmental system. And just like everybody needs to take a step toward being a fisherman, everybody needs to take a step toward being a citizen. And if you are a single mom and you are overwhelmed with, or even a married mother, this is most of my listeners are probably mothers, but if you are overwhelmed doing for your child, then you have a pass on this. Your responsibility is first your own child. And I was so frustrated when I had a child that had so much call to the ministry, so much on task to do in graduate school and seminary and work. Public school would send home a supply list, and I needed to get it that night. That was so hard because I had 8 hours of my homework, 8 hours of my daughter's homework, a dinner to get, and they expected me to go up to the door that night with everybody else and elbow and get it. Like, why couldn't they have given that list to me a week ahead? Well, but that's just not the way it was done. It was very hard. It was very hard. And so I understand that. And so I'm giving you a pass. If all you can do is take care of you and yours, fine. But there will come a time when yours are grown and launched and you will have an opportunity. And so if you are in that boat, then shame on you if you are not using your leisure to contribute. If you're spending all of your time in pleasures for a season, notice that your life is short, and you already know that. If you're 60, you have already had 20 years since your youngest child. Well, maybe not. But anyway, you need to have 20 years to look back and say, I did this. And what about the next 20 years? You should probably live to be 80. So I'm not saying you can never go to the golf course, but if that's all you do, shame on you. So, yes, Kenneth Copeland says, don't say shame on you. No, I want shame enough for repentance. Godly sorrow to repentance. That's what I want for you. We all need to be citizens. And if you are a married couple and have some affluence, some years on you, you and your children need to be doing this. And then You need to devote more time. So yes, you need to be active in your church, but question how much that's busy work and do what you're called to do. But we're all called to be citizens. We're all called, you know, to give a certain amount to your church. You're all called to give a certain amount to the poor. Certainly, primarily, your first ministry is to your child. And then serve your church, and because that's part of your own health. But then, and of course, take care of your health. Then citizens next. And I think this has largely been overlooked. And if you are a church leader, a pastor, then teach the word. But whether or not you are a real servant leader or just a showman and a controlist, largely you can measure that by what you're doing to serve families and children in your church. Because that's not where your ROI is, I understand. So are you spending tens of thousands of dollars for lights and smoke machines and screens, and your children's church is going begging? And what and how much are you really undergirding those home groups and your educators? Is this a matter of they're the controlists, or are they servant leaders who are then replicated and resourced by you, the pastoral staff? Okay, so I want to talk about once you have undergirded the families, then you need to undergird the citizens. And so you need to make a sound and a proper sound, and you don't know what the sound is unless you're educated, and you're not. Because the school system has been innovated, has been, you know, diminished over the years. And even back in the 60s, I remember being taught anti-American values. Can I tell you? There was a, it was probably at Bel Air. But anyway, there was a parade in Houston sometime, somewhere. And every time military group would come by, maybe it was the ROTC or whatever, military group, I would just look down because I was taught in school not to value that. My father, who was a veteran of World War II, saw me doing that and didn't permit it. Well, he had no idea, and he should have, what I was being taught in school. We should have had a good conversation about that. My father, bless his heart, pontificated after dinner, and you know, I learned about the law and about civics and about history because my father was a lawyer and would pontificate after dinner. And that was a great part of my education. And my mother had education, and I learned vocabulary and grammar from my mother. And it was my parents that gave me the high SAT scores that I got. It was my parents that who permitted me to have so much easier time, because it wasn't. I mean, I had a good public, you know, my high school was more favored than some others, but so much came, but my father didn't realize the kind of leftist leaning I was taught in public school. Had no idea, I think, to this day. Anyway, and I know it's much, much, much worse, and I've fortunately or unfortunately been part of that as a teacher of sociology. And seminary has, we all know, seminaries have been perverted since the 1890s, the 1920s. And today, the last reunion, class reunion that I went to, the gal stood up and preached, and there was no Bible in it. There was no theology in it. It was all very hateful leftist social gospel. Could we stretch the term enough? No, it was communism because it was hateful. And those who graduated in the 80s with me, we just walked out in silence. There was nothing to be said. And you certainly couldn't disagree with that because it was preached with such vehemence and hate. This is not the gospel, folks. It's not neo-orthodoxy either. It's communism. I'm sorry. call it a spade a spade. So we need to make a better sound. And did we make? Yeah. Everybody, so that's a Presbytery, PCUSA seminary. And when you become a member of a presbytery, you do make a vow. So the peace and purity of the church. So you prove you're not going to be a troublemaker. But who is the troublemaker if the purity of the church isn't biblical? And you do sign on to some confessions of faith. Apostles' Creed. The Barman Confession. Okay, well, that's speaking to Presbyterians. The Barman Confession was written in face of Hitler, saying Hitler doesn't have the power to remake our confessions. Bart wrote it. We root our faith in the Bible and the historical confessions of the church. So you're at fault if you're standing up and preaching communism. Okay, so what is your civic duty? First, you have to know what sound you're supposed to be making. And so I am going to challenge each and every household listening to me, and certainly every educator, to go and get some courses on the Constitution and constitutional history. Hillsdale has a free one. Rick Green at Patriot Academy has a free one. Go to Hillsdale, Hillsdale, Hillsdale.edu. They do actually have a college, and they have a free course, and it's taught by professors. And if you have already been trained that, oh, these are so rightist. No, it is constitutional history. Constitution, United States. So find out what the philosophy was of the founders, these people who wrote the Declaration and the Constitution and the Federalist Papers. Their diaries are extant, so you can find out what they actually said. Take a course. Or patriotacademy.com. And don't be fooled by your quote-unquote a priori, quote-unquote knowledge. Right? Take a course and find out. And you'll find that there'll be some history there about how constitutional philosophy has changed, so that what legal experts today may think about the Constitution does not equal what the framers thought about it. And you should know. All right, you should know. And if you teach or if you're a parent, you should get some education. Go one of those courses, what, about 12 hours? And do it with your children. That'd be a great thing to do this summer. And stop watching a fool's stupid flicks that are pushing all kind of nonsense, rebellion, and perversity. Yeah, take a course together. So that's one. Have the right. If you are a pastor, you need to take both of them, and you need to think about this. The fivefold ministry had teachers in it. And after you have gotten your Christian education department right, then you need to think about how you can support education. Every congregation needs to support education. A full-blown school, a licensed child care center. And this is the best mission and will not only reach out to your neighborhood in a charitable way, but may bring people into your church. At the very least, some fulsome weekday ministry for various populations, whether it's the smaller children or the youth. I mean, why aren't there hangout places, boys and girls clubs in the churches? I have no idea. Civic lessons that are taught in the schools. I don't know why it's not done more often, but I know it has been done on an ongoing basis, or simply a homeschool resource center. You know, maybe your building just won't support it, but you can have a library, or you can throw in with another church that's small, and you can have a church school. Yes, it needs to be a separate 501c3, but you can do that. Every church needs to do that, or you're not taking your responsibility in terms of fivefold ministry. And support your, I've already said this, teach parenting, teach how to pick a spouse, and support education in some way. Teach the parents how to be good parents, and that means educators. Then, every church needs to teach how to be good citizens. Okay, so I'm going to give you some ideas about how to do that. Looks like we're going to have to put that in the next episode. We try to keep these to 28 and a half minutes. Don't always manage. But I do want to make available to you some resources. You know that I have a book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. For pastors and church leaders, I have How to Start a Daycare / Preschool as a Mission. That is a book, trade paperback book on Amazon, or you can get it in electronic format. You can also get a whole course at teachachildchangeanation.org. teachachildchangeanation.org. I strongly encourage you to take this to your pastor and keep taking it to your pastor and his wife, and if not, to the next one and the next one, because this needs to happen all over the land. We have a book called The Government is Not a Village that covers the problems of children and the problems of public education, that speaks back to what the left said. Yes, we have a problem, but the left's answers are part of the problem. So get that book. It's available also. For these, go to greatshalom.org. Great, like big G-R-E-A-T, shalom, shalom.org. For training and consulting for early childhood, www.orgstrat.net. Orgstrat.net. See you there.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.